Hi, everybody. This is Donna Fox, and you are listening to Akashic Wisdom. This is a program where we're going to talk about the Akashic Records, the amazing things you can do when you have and learn how to access your Akashic Records. And it's even a call-in talk show, so you can call in with your questions. We don't necessarily go with futures, but we do go with here and now. I do have a guest I'm going to tell you about in a minute. I'm so excited to have her on the show. But just to, for those folks who've never listened to Akashic Wisdom before, the Akashic Records are the energetic recording of your soul's journey over every lifetime. So every thought, word, and deed are registered in the Akashic Records, including your soul's intention for this lifetime. So what's important to understand, if you're trying to kind of wrap your head around it, it's like a divine Google, if you will, so that once you are able to open your Akashic Records, you can ask a question, and the vibration of that question will get you to the right area of the records, and the information comes forward. Or you can also have a consultant, like myself or Ronnie, open your Akashic Records, and we do individual consultations. For me, I do business consultations as well as individual consultations or relationship consultations, and we're going to hear more about my guest, Ronnie, in just a moment. So if you would like to call in during our program at any time, my producer, Don, will answer your phone and your call, and we'll put you right through. The telephone number to call toll-free is 888-429-5471. If you'd like to dial direct or you're out of the country, dialing direct is 323-744-4841. And if you are out of the country and dialing in with your question, our area code or our country code is 011. Also, for those people who don't want to call in but want to go ahead and email me a question, you can email a question for Ronnie or myself at info@akashicwisdom.com, just like the name of the show. So without further ado, I want to tell you a little bit about my guest tonight. So for those folks who are regular listeners, you're going to enjoy this like you wouldn't believe. Ronnie Reisler, I've known for well over 20 years. And the reason I know her so well is because she was one of my teachers. And she and her sister, Elena Lieberman, taught me when they both used to live in Chicago. And we became fast friends and have been close well over the 20 years, as I mentioned. Ronnie has taken an interesting twist from what people do with the Akashic Records. And as I mentioned before, the Akashic Records are the energetic recording of the soul's journey over every lifetime, including your soul's intention for this lifetime. But what's interesting is that you can use the Akashic Records to expand your creativity in all areas of your life. And what Ronnie has done and has perfected is teaching you how to create your soul's mandala. And she also does commissions of creating your own soul's mandala. But we're going to let her talk about the process in a minute. So I would love to welcome Ronnie Reisler, my teacher and friend. Welcome to Akashic Wisdom.
Ronnie? It's just great to be here. And I love that divine Google comment. That was great. That was really, that rung true to me. And I'm very happy to be here tonight with you. And thanks so much for giving the blessing to our friendship and knowing each other for such a long time. I really forget how much time has passed between us, you know, since we've, you know, gotten together. So thank you very much for this opportunity.
Oh, my pleasure. So if for those people who would like to take a look at Ronnie's website as we talk, I really want you to see her fantastic I can't even put words to the work that she has done because it's so magnificent. You can go to www.mandalaofthesoul.com. And that's M as in Mary, A, N as in Nancy, D as in David, A-L-A, of the soul, S-O-U-L, .com. All one word. And you can take a look at all the wonderful work that she has done. And that's just, as they say, the tip of the iceberg, just an itty-bitty part of all her magnificent work. So, Ronnie, let's talk a little bit about your background in the Akashic Records and how you got into the Akashic Records. We're on the phone for an hour, but everybody will probably want to know who you are and how you got here.
That's a very interesting question. I always tell the story about how my brother-in-law threw his back out. And that's how I got to the Akashic Records. And I know that sounds a little strange, but he went to a chiropractor who told him about a lady who lived in Texas who was coming to Chicago to teach a class. And he said, well, you know, I'm not interested in this kind of thing, and so on and so forth. And the chiropractor insisted, and he said, you've got to go see this lady. You've got to come to this class. So he did. And at the time, I'm speaking of our original founder, Mary Parker.
Mary Parker, right, yes.
Yes. She taught the class to go through two levels in one weekend so that you learn the first day how to access your own Akashic Records, and then the next day you learned how to access somebody else's Akashic Records. Now, that was a pretty fast and intense kind of thing. But the important part of that for me was that when you learn how to access somebody else's Akashic Records, you have a 30-day practice period. So my brother-in-law was going to practice, and he needed people to practice on. So he called me up, and he said, listen, I learned this thing from this lady in Texas, and I can give you a consultation. Are you interested? And I had no idea what he was going to come up with, Donna. And I said, sure, you know, what the heck, I'll go, I'll do it. So he said, well, you have to ask questions. And I said, okay. So we got together, and we're sitting opposite each other, and I started asking questions about, various things, relationships, some feelings I was having, you know, some future stuff. You know, I almost didn't really know where to go with it, but I was talking about some things that I believed were important to me at the time. And he started talking to me in a way I had never heard him speak before. And it struck me as being so fascinating that the words and the information coming through him were not what I would have called characteristic to him. And I said, where did you learn how to do this? And he said, well, you know, this lady's coming from Texas, and she came to Chicago to teach this. I said, well, is she coming back again? And he said, yeah, I don't know when, but sometime. And I said, okay, you tell me when she's coming back, because I want to do this too. And that was the beginning of it. Now, my sister had a similar kind of response, only even more profound and expanded. And so we went together to the class that she did. I think it was about 6 months later, maybe a year later. But in the meantime, we were badgering my poor brother-in-law all the time because he was loving to practice. And so we spent quite a bit of time with him opening the records for us. As time went on and we started to take the classes ourselves, things began to change and grow and expand. We flew to Texas quite frequently to spend time with her, to work with her at her home. And these would be week-long sessions where we would just, from morning to night, work with opening the records and asking questions and exploring the possibilities that were available to us through that heightened energy. And eventually she asked my sister to teach. So this is kind of a, shortening the long story, but yeah. If my brother-in-law hadn't thrown his back out and gone to the chiropractor who recommended that he go to this class, I would not have heard about it.
Well, we both know that there's no accidents, and this was meant to be, right?
Absolutely, because it was a very, it was an extraordinary sequence of events, absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, that's, you know, you and I both could tell many, many stories of what seemed like coincidences, but obviously weren't, about what's going on in the records, right?
Right. So. Yes, yes. Sometimes it's absolutely astonishing.
Exactly. Because you couldn't create it if you wanted it to. It just shows up.
No,
right,
right.
Right. So talk to me, talk to our audience about your work with the mandalas. How did that begin?
Well, I had been a fiber designer. And
what is a fiber designer?
I was taking courses in fiber art, which I did a variety of different things with threads, yarns, fabrics, fabric painting, handcrafted things. I created jewelry. I did some bridal head pieces. A lot had to do with working with fabric, painting, fabric, batiking, tie-dyeing, all that variety of fiber work. And I enjoyed it tremendously, but I sort of wanted to expand a little bit. But I didn't think of how that would happen. And I began to want to use the Akashic Records as a problem-solving tool with the work that I was doing at the time. So when I would sort of have difficulties crafting something or finding the right color or working something out, I would open the Akashic Records and ask for guidance on how to solve whatever it was that was going on with what I was creating. And it didn't occur to me that I could integrate it even further with the entire piece, with originating and creating the entire piece. So I was already starting to use it as a problem-solving tool in my artwork and in my craft. And one day I stumbled across a book called Mandalas, Luminous Symbols of Healing, written by Dr. Judith Cornell.
Okay.
Who had her doctorate in art. And I was familiar with mandalas because mandalas are really very heavily used in Hindu and Buddhist art. And it's a Hindu and Buddhist tradition, but also, you know, there are Native American medicine wheels, and there are Kabbalistic mandalas, and there are mandalas that are used from the Quran, and mandalas really do appear in nature in a lot of different ways. So I was very fond of Asian art, so I was already familiar with Japanese, Chinese, Nepalese and Tibetan mandalas. And we had, both my sister and I had been exposed to Asian art at a very young age because we had some, you know, art-educated people in our family. So when I read this lady's book and saw how she was summoning the divine energy from within her to create these mandalas that she was showing in her book, I realized there was like this aha moment where I saw that this was a way of accessing the Akashic Records completely.
Through the mandala?
So, yes.
Okay.
Yes. Because it's a sacred symbol to start with. So I decided to fly to California and stay in the ashram with her and study.
Wonderful.
Which is what I did.
So I have a question. So what are mandalas really? So you said there is mandalas in Buddhism and et cetera. What is the purpose of the mandalas that are or made? Let's say not with the person's records open, but were made. Like for example, I know that the monks make mandalas. you know, with the chalk. Like, I've been to expos where they would come in and they would make a mandala specifically for that event with with chalk. They would actually grate the chalk to make the mandalas, and at the end of the event, they would literally put the chalk into little bags, and then we would take the chalk, the part of the mandala. I mean, they did some blessings over it, and then we would take it to the Olentangy River, because it was in Columbus, and put the chalk in the river. So what is the purpose of a mandala, and why is it important to have one?
Typically, in that tradition, the mandala is used as a meditative tool. It is also supposed to be the portal to the perfect reality.
Wait a minute. A meditative tool and a portal to, what did you say?
The realm of perfect reality.
So that by meditating on the mandala, a person can be transported to the realm of the perfect reality?
Right. Yes.
Wow, that's powerful.
If you view some of the Tibetan mandalas, you will see certain figures in certain segments in the mandala that represent levels, realms of deity, of divinity. And so when you're viewing the mandala, you move into a meditative state, and you are able to travel through these realms to purify yourself and come closer to Buddhahood.
Okay, wow. So when you teach people, or you have your class, that where individuals create their own mandala of their soul, do people actually experience moving into their perfect reality?
Well, that may be the end result. What begins with it first, though, is the way I teach how to create a mandala is we open our Akashic records first.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Now, I want to mention that the monks who create the mandalas that you're talking about have been meditating and training for many, many years in a monastery.
Right.
And most likely, they are indeed in the Akashic records when they create those mandalas. They are not accessing it in the way you and I know how to do that, because we have a specific technique to access the Akashic records. We use the sacred prayer method, but they are moving into the soul connection with the divine in order to bring forward the symbols or the images that communicate that. So when we open, I always call, you know, it's easier to use the records because it's a shortcut.
Yeah,
you know,
sure.
You sort of go right there. So we start first with opening the records, and I deliver a couple of techniques, just very basic art techniques that give you some tools to work with. So we talk about color and how color relates to each other and how color is really light, right? Because when you get the color through the white light passing through the prism, you get the rainbow, which are your primary colors. So we start working with that, and we start working with
the
white light.
And just want to stop. And the rainbow contains all the chakra colors.
Yes.
Okay, got it. Just wanted to make that connection there. That just came up.
Right.
Go ahead.
So we do a few little exercises of that nature just to get ourselves into a sense of having resources coming from us to use to start supporting our process. When we open the records, then we start working with those colors and with light. And we start building our mandalas with those tools and resources. And we, bit by bit, I add in more tools and more materials to support expanding the process until there is something that is clearly representative, but also beautiful and satisfying to the person who's creating the mandala, that will have some understanding and alignment with them.
Wow.
So the other part of it is that there are universal mandalas, and there are community mandalas, and there are tribal mandalas. And so the class, if we're all together, each creating a mandala, we put the mandalas together to see the community mandala, the universal mandala, which we are, of course, all part of.
Sure, right. So what benefit, then, do people have in creating their own mandala after the class?
Well, firstly, they now have a piece of work, and probably a couple of them, because we do a few things in class, usually, that gives them guidance to a different way of seeing the divine connection that is personal to themselves. You have that special connection that you yourself have created. And it's coming through you. The resources are really within the person who is creating the mandala. Now, we can look at images, and we can copy images, and we can, you know, draw templates and all that sort of thing, which, by the way, the monks have templates that they follow. I've actually got a picture of one. And that's fine, because the idea is that one begins to understand one's creative capacity.
Say that one more time, please. Say that again.
One begins to understand one's creative capacity.
Even though you don't, a person might not be an artist,
that's correct.
It's okay, right?
That it's absolutely okay, because you start to look for beauty, and beauty is the presence of the divine.
Beauty,
and that's coming through you. It's coming through your hands. It's coming through your heart. It's coming through the messages that you're receiving from the records. You're pulling your blues and your reds and your greens and your whites and putting it all together and moving it around and sharing it with everyone else who is doing the same thing. And you're building a tremendous connection.
Interesting.
But you're part of it. It's coming from within. And that's the creative capacity. That's creation. You really recognize that you're the creator, that you're a creator.
Wow. See, that's, I'm so excited. And ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you that one of the reasons I wanted Ronnie to come on the show tonight was because she is doing a workshop to teach people how to access their own soul's mandala here in Akron, Ohio. And that date is going to be, I just had it in my head, better look on the phone. It's going to be in June. It's the last weekend in June. And it's going to be here in Akron. It's actually going to be the evening of the 24th and then all day on the 25th and 26th. And if this is of interest to you, please email me at info@akashicwisdom.com. You can also email Ronnie. Ronnie, what's your email?
My email is ronnir75@yahoo.com.
Okay. So you can either email me for more information or Ronnie. If what the prerequisite on this is a level one Akashic Records class, because you really need to know how to open your Akashic Records to be able to participate in this particular class. I personally am offering a level one workshop at the end of May, And so if you're interested in doing this and you don't know how to open your records and that's something you would like to learn, that's going to be on May 28th and 29th. And
that would be perfect, Donna.
Yeah.
That would really be perfect, yeah.
Yeah, see, this way people will have a chance to work with their records and themselves before coming to the class with Ronnie. And also, just as a comment on that, not to get off the subject, but that Monday, we're going to work on the records if you want to. It's a separate class, but if you want to, on creating your destiny. So that's just a one-day class. But if you already know how to work with the records, you can come to that. But the whole point of having this level one in May is to be able to prepare people for this mandala class in June. Are you doing a level one anywhere at all before that?
Actually, my sister and I are doing a level one on May 21st and 22nd in Chicago.
Okay. All right. So you have 2 weekends in May to figure out when you'd like to come. So if you'd like information on that level one with Ronnie and Elena, or if you'd like information on the one with me here in Akron, you can either go to Chicago or come to Akron. You've got two choices.
Right.
For actually, level one to prepare you.
Our class is almost full, so
okay.
Donna, they got to go to you.
That's fine with me.
Yeah.
I just started advertising it, so I've got some spaces open.
Okay. Well, I mean, maybe we can take one or two, but that's going to be it, where we filled up. But we would welcome you if you want, but it probably would, you have a better chance with Donna.
Okay. That's fine. So
right.
I'm on your website. So anyway, we've gotten, oh, and we'll give, Ronnie, do you want to give your phone number? Is it okay for me to give it out?
Yes, please okay. Do.
Okay, so Ronnie's telephone number to contact her, either to commission her to create your soul's mandala, or to do a consultation, or to register for that one or two spaces in Chicago in her level one, is 847-767-1214. If you'd like to contact me directly, it's 216-392-5490. So you've got both of our numbers, and we're happy to answer any questions you may have and register you for the level one or for the June class. But I want to get back to your website. I find it very interesting because on your website, which again is www.mandalaofthesoul.com, it talks about the fact that mandala is Sanskrit, and it means essence and law, which means circle and enclosing perimeter that contains the essence. In early times, it's sometimes referred to mantras or verses of mantras. It's very interesting. The reason I say that is because, you know, the word Akashic or Akasha is Sanskrit for, and I just want to make that connection for people, that they're both Sanskrit, and you know, the word Akasha is Sanskrit for eternal light, basically, isn't it? I mean, that it's to me, it's the light of which we are all made,
substance.
Right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, so it's a beautiful combination, and also there's other traditions even beyond. You mentioned the medicine wheels of the Native American, the Kabbalistic Jews, Saint Hildegard von Bingen in the 1100s was working with these C.G. Jung. I mean, there's so many different people that have been. That are working within the mandalas, and what I'm receiving is on so many different levels and realms, and so that when you're working with your Akashic records and creating the mandala of your soul, it's what Ronnie said. It's the experience of allowing that energy to flow through your body, from your heart into your hands.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like your heart is being, and your heart and your essence is being expressed through your hands onto paper. that was my experience, and I'm really looking forward to participating in this class, you know, again. And when you really move into your zone, it's in a magnificent experience.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. Talk about. So I don't know why I'm going to ask this question, but we ladies and gentlemen, before I do this program, I always open up the records, the Akashic records, through our sacred prayer that we've learned, and Ronnie has her records open. That's why if you call in with a question, we'll answer you through the records. But the comment that's coming forward is to ask you about the healings that have taken place from either viewing or working on or the mandalas.
That's very interesting, because they are considered, creating one can be considered a healing process.
Okay.
Now, interestingly enough, Dr. Judith Cornell herself began creating mandalas because she had been ill. And while she did have a doctorate in art and was a painter, she took up the practice of yoga and became a yogini and traveled to India, where she broadened her experience with working with mandalas. So a lot of her teachings to me were based on the goddesses of the Hindu faith and the sounds and chants that come through to show the image, which would be in this case a mantra or a chanting. The mandala also represents a sound vibration, and some people call that the sound current of the divine, the sound current of God, but vibration affects, the level of vibration and brainwaves affects how we are connected to our bodies and to our spirit, and how we meditate and what our mood is, how we react, all these different things. The higher our vibration, the more we are able to manifest positively and creatively in our lives. So the idea of using a mandala to heal, also Jung used this a great deal, is it brings forward in a visual and sound way, a vibrational way, that which must be lifted from the being to clear the path and bring one more into the light body.
Huh.
So when you start moving into the light body, of course, that's a purer, more perfect state to be in. All the things that we do to worship whatever our God is or whatever our practice is,
yeah,
has to do with becoming a purer and stronger and clearer and more loving being,
right,
which is a more perfect state. It's a healthy state. It's a balanced state.
Interesting. Well, you know, it's, again, I'm going back to your website. It says the personal mandala accessed through the Akashic Records is a portion of the light of the soul. If you,
yes,
see beauty, elegance, vibrancy, and magnificence in your mandala, then you may remember that it is the very beauty of your own light revealed. That's beautiful. And it's like so sacred.
Yes. It's interesting, through time working with these mandalas, and the site doesn't have all the mandalas that have come through me, although I did add some more recent ones to the site. One of the things that I had noticed from the beginning of my moving through this journey is there have been similar motifs appearing in mandalas. The lotus is one of the common symbols that comes up. But they are never, ever, ever the same. They are so different that I know it has to be the light of the individual.
Well, that's what's interesting, because I remember when you did mine.
Yes.
It wasn't even a circle.
Well, you had many circles.
I did.
You had a couple of circles sort of overlaying one into the other.
Yeah, right, but there was this
alignment.
Like expansion, like this bolt of, like this, it was like, there's a lot of mandalas have these intricate little things inside of them. Mine was
yes.
really more. It wasn't like that. I found
no,
that interesting.
Right. I recall that your mandala, I think your mandala is on the site, isn't it?
I don't know because I can't access it because my
oh, okay.
Adobe's not there.
Okay.
But it was amazing because it wasn't your typical circle. I mean, there were circles in it, but it wasn't like the circle like Mary's and Elena's, you know what I mean? They are the actual circles with things inside of them. Mine
right.
didn't have a definition of a... And I'm wondering, that's the other question is, what about, does your soul mandala change? Would it be different now than it was then?
You know what, Donna? That is such an interesting question because it's not the first time that question's been delivered to me. And I did ask in the records, and I thought, well, what would happen if so-and-so said, well, I need another mandala. I want something different. and try as I could, you know, working with that idea, with that question, it appeared as if, so far up until this time as we are speaking, that the mandala that comes forward is really what there is for it. And I cannot explain exactly why that is so. Now, one person mentioned that she thought that she wanted to get another one, that she had had hers for a while, and she thought it was time to get another one. And I opened the records, and I opened her records, and I said, well, I don't see another one for you. You know, I didn't get the imagery for it.
Right.
And so she went back to the one that she had, and she said, you know, that's really interesting. It looks like the colors are changing. So she looked at it again and said, you know, the blue is much darker now. And it does look different to me now.
Wow.
So I said, well, maybe that's the answer. Maybe through time, as you work with it and meditate upon it or pray with it or visualize with it, whatever it is that you choose to do, is that you're going to start seeing it in different ways or receiving different pieces of information from it. So far, I have not created another mandala for the same person.
Wow. Well, I would imagine that it's your soul's imprint that's coming forward of what you need. And then so that's very interesting. But you do mandalas for couples, right?
Yes. That's a recent development, and it's a very exciting aspect.
Talk about that for a moment, please.
Well, what happens with that is that I actually open the records of both people
at the same
time
involved
in the relationship. Yes.
At the same time? Okay.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
And of course I receive permission from each person.
Sure. Uh-huh.
And I ask for the image, symbol, color, whatever it is, I said, you know, show me what is appropriate for the relationship of these two people, of so-and-so and Jane Doe and John Doe, let's
uh-huh.
say. And so far, what I've received, well, first of all, they seem to be very beautiful and elegant because most often there's a connectedness, a love existing between the two people that creates a kind of beauty or harmony in the mandala. And so part of that path is to show that, right? And what happens so far is that there are symbols and things that come forward that seem to exhibit the nature of the relationship.
Interesting.
Cool. And for example, one that I've done recently, which I've just begun doing these relationship mandalas, there were diamonds in it.
Huh.
And no, it's not an engagement ring, but it was because there was a durability and brilliance to the relationship.
So how did you draw the diamonds? Did you make them sparkly or?
Yeah, I did make them sparkly.
Huh.
They were very small, so it was a little challenging.
Yeah.
But wow. I found sparkly things to put in there, you know. When I do them myself, I use a lot of different kind of media to communicate the change in light and the sparkle or the luminescence that is being transported or communicated through the mandala. So yes, I did use a sparkly. I found some sparkly stuff that was pretty neat, and I was very excited to use it. but you know, there were other symbols in there that were very lovely. You know, golden scrolls and you know, flowers, lilacs, things that there was an eternal quality to it.
Right. Right.
Now, that doesn't mean that every relationship mantra is going to show that, because, first of all, it might be a child and a parent.
Sure. Oh, that's an interesting one.
Or a brother
or
and
even
sister,
siblings,
or
eh?
Sisters. Or, yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Wow.
Right.
Huh. Now, you know, we don't open the records of people who have passed on to, you know, have left the planet, but can you do a mandala of a person that's left the planet and the person who is left behind? It's like a widow or a widower. Could you do a mandala?
You know, that has never been requested of me. Now, I'm in the records right now, I can ask that. And what I'm receiving about that is I would have to do it through the records of the person who is still in the physical.
Sure, right. Well, I figure that, but it's like so. It wouldn't be the other person's mandala. It would just be the one person's mandala.
Well, someone can request and say, "I would like to have a mandala, you know, that reflects my relationship with my past." Husband, wife, brother, sister, whatever that is, and I could open the records and ask. I am then bound by that agreement and the ethic that I use when I open the records to illustrate or put down or reveal or create whatever I am given through the records. So I can ask and say, you know, will you show me how I can do this? What are the images and so on and so forth? And then whatever comes up is going to go on the paper.
Sure.
So it's feasible. It's feasible to do. Yeah. It would be possible to do.
Here's what the next question they want you to answer is, what about a caretaker and a pet?
You mean an owner of a pet, or
yeah, like if I wanted one of my cat Zohar, like a mandala that would reflect the relationship with my cat Zohar and me, or my cat Rosie, or the relationship between Rosie and Zohar. Can you do that? Am I going way off the base here, or but
no,
it's a curiosity,
I don't think so.
You know?
No,
and
it
possibilities.
Doesn't. It doesn't feel that way. It
yeah.
would be a possibility.
Sure.
I haven't explored it yet.
Right.
And I haven't, you know, I'm asking the records right here and now as we speak together.
Yeah.
Because it hadn't come up before, and
right.
now it's up. So,
well,
so we can go with it, right?
Yeah.
Now, my experience with working in the records with animals is that you do ask the animal for permission.
Absolutely.
And usually the animal does something that indicates
right.
an awareness of permission.
Right. Like when I teach a level 2 class, I teach people how to access the records of their pets. Or
right.
But the way that, like, so what has come to, has been shown to me about a permission is if you are, you know, if you are, if the cat or the dog or whatever is, or whatever animal, but if they're like laying on you or close to you and you're petting them and you mention and you say their name, like, so I would say, okay, Zohar, you know, I would like to open your records. Is it okay if I open your records now? You know, that he's going to either stay there and just let me keep petting him, that would be a yes. And if he doesn't want, he's going to jump off.
Right.
So that's the way, you know, when I'm teaching, that's what the way we do it. They ask the permission of their animals prior to coming to class on the last day.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
Knowing,
I mean, you may have a different technique. I just wanted to share what I
right. Well, I have opened. I've occasionally opened the records of animals, and usually there was some body movement or
yeah.
head turning or sound uttered
yeah.
that indicated that I felt the energy of a permission in that.
Right.
But here's what I'm actually getting for you, Donna, and this might prove interesting to your listeners.
Okay.
Because I know that you access the Akashic Records and that you do this with your animals.
Yeah.
I would ask you to ask permission of your animals and then write down on your permission sheet, your release form,
yeah.
that you have received permission from Zohar and Rosie.
Okay.
Because I would need your permission, too.
Sure.
So you would send a permission sheet to me, or give
yeah.
it to me, with your signature, and then with your proxy signature for your animals, because you asked them for me.
Get a paw print.
Or get a paw print. Right, a little claw, you know.
Yeah.
But that's because you and I have worked together
yeah.
and you understand the process.
Sure.
So that's probably how I would work with you on that. Now,
well, I could
if it's someone
at the class too, huh?
I imagine so.
Yeah.
If someone's animal was nearby.
Yeah.
Or
well,
we can't bring
animals into the room where we're gonna do the class. But it doesn't mean we couldn't get the permission ahead of time. I mean, again, you know, I may just focus on myself, but and then, you know, do it at another time once we figure out. Once I understand how to, I understand how to do it. It's just, you know, I've never considered myself a great artist by any stretch of the imagination. So I'm always amazed at what shows up. You know?
Well, you know, it's interesting that you're saying that thing about the great artist and all of that, because I actually do not consider myself very good at drawing, and
huh.
through time, the records have given me ways or techniques of, you know, putting in certain kinds of forms and shapes, especially repeating them, because I do not use a computer to do that, by the way. Although,
right, it's all hand done. It's all done by hand.
Right, it's all hand done.
Right.
I am moving towards doing some cut paper. I recently was gifted by my sister and some dear friends with a cutting machine.
Oh.
Which will, because I do use cut paper, which will help me do many shapes instead of cutting them all out by hand if I want to incorporate them. But along with this comes Photoshop. which I am not going to Photoshop a mandala. I'm pretty certain of that. They're very complicated. It would take a long time to learn how to do that. However, there are a lot of ways and techniques of putting in certain shapes and forms and faces and things that can support you in wanting to put a certain kind of thing. And you know what? The great French artist Degas traced shapes and dancers onto his canvases.
Wow.
And the painter Matisse drew sketches on his canvas, and if he didn't like it, he didn't even bother to erase it. He just painted right over it. And if you go see some of his paintings, you'll see the sketches sticking out from the other painting.
Oh, that's funny. Wow.
And so the truth of the matter is there are lots of ways that you could put things into your mandala if that's what you see and feel are the right things to put in, or the moving or aligned ways, you know, things to put in, without being a brilliant artist, whatever that is. And I don't really know what that is, to tell you the truth. So you know, I do tell the class, I say, look, you know what? There are artists who have used tracings and templates and stencils and little forms that they drew around throughout their art careers, and then worked with them and developed them and colored them and painted them, and they became part of the whole work. So there are lots of ways that one can do this.
Wow.
And produce something of beauty.
Wow. So let's you know, folks, if you have any questions, you have less than 9 minutes to call in. So this would be the time to call in. You can call in toll-free anywhere in the United States, 888-429-5471. You could also dial direct at 323-744-4841. And if you have an email question, you can email me at info, I-N-F as in Frank, O, at akashicwisdom.com. And again, just want to let you know that Ronnie will be teaching you how to create your soul's mandala, and that would be June 24th, 25th, and 26th. It's the evening of the 24th, all day the 25th and 26th of June. Here in Akron, Ohio, if you're, you know, coming in from out of town, there are great hotels around here. Akron Canton Airport is a smaller airport, but it's easy to fly into. Just would love to have you at the class. The room that we're going to use has magnificent lighting. So give us a call, and you can call Ronnie at 847-767-1214. Or you can call me directly at 216-392-5490. And if you're looking, if you want to see Ronnie's work, it's mandalaofthesoul.com. 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 So, and if you want to qualify, if you don't know how to open your records, no problem. I'm going to be doing that the end of May. It's Memorial Day weekend. So everybody's got off on that Monday, so you might as well come on along, learn how to open your records, and then if you want to hang out for the class of creating your destiny with the Akashic Records, you certainly can do that. And the reason that came forward from the records to do that is because it fits so perfectly that, even those 3 days with the end of June, because it gives you what you need and helps you understand more about how to actually work with your records and expand your creativity. So, Ronnie, what would you say to people about why you think they should come to this workshop? What if some of your people told you about coming to the workshop? Talk to us about why you would tell people to come.
Well, I allow dancing
You allow dancing. Okay.
Yes. Well,
so people can dance around their mandala.
Yes, we do. We can do that, actually.
We can,
Donna,
do anything.
We
sure,
can.
Absolutely.
Yes. One of the reasons is, well, there are lots of reasons why people want to do something like this. A lot of it is because they just want to tap into their inner creativity and realize that they can create and do things with color and see something beautiful that's coming from them.
Right. That's true. Absolutely.
The next reason is it helps one move through self-judgment.
Ooh.
Now, the thing is, you were talking, of course, I'm not such a great artist. So now that's a kind of talk. We give that to ourselves all the time.
Yeah.
But you see, when we're in the class and we're all working together and we're using these same techniques and everybody has, I bring as many materials as I possibly can to support the process, you are a great artist. That's the thing. There is that in you. That creativity dwells within everybody. It may not look the same as anybody else, but it's there. And once you see that that energy is indigenous to you, it's part of you, it can be applied in a lot of different areas of the life, just like learning how to read the records.
Wow. That's amazing.
Yeah, it's a very important factor to realize, well, maybe I can do this. Instead of saying, oh, my God, I can't do this. Yes, you can. You know, I'll tell you a little story. I know we don't have too much time. But there was a fellow in South America when I was teaching, and he had this image of light coming through the darkness, and that's what he wanted to do in his mandala. And he said, I can't do it, I can't do it. And we came to him, and I said, well, why can't you do it? He says, because it's not going to look the way I want it to look. And I said, okay. Describe to me how you want it to look. And he says, well, you know, I see this darkness around and I see this light coming out and it's very, very bright and it's like a big star. And I said, okay. I said, here's the white pencil. Go through the middle of the mandala because we find the middle and then we have quarters which help us with putting our things in there in an even way. And what he started to do is he started to take the ruler and go across the mandala and keep moving the ruler a little bit and a little bit and drawing white lines. And in the center where these lines were crossing, it became brighter and brighter and brighter because he was going over the white repeatedly.
Huh.
And pretty soon, after turning the ruler continuously all the way around repeatedly, he produced exactly what he was seeing. He said, oh, my gosh, look, it's so bright in the middle. I've done it. This is the bright light coming to me from the darkness.
Wow, that's great.
And he was so thrilled. He didn't even use any other color. It was just white on black.
Amazing.
And he was so happy. Yes, and it was a simple thing.
Okay, so really quickly, is there anything I didn't ask you that I should have that you want to tell our listeners?
Well, I think everybody would enjoy this, even at the most basic level of having fun, being creative, using lots of color, and I throw in gold and silver plant pens.
Great. And you get to keep your work. It goes from, I think we said it was going to go from 10 to 6, is that right, on
yes.
Saturday and Sunday, and from 7 to 9, is that right, on Friday?
On Friday night. We can cover
right.
a few things and get those out of the way so we can jump right in on
right
Saturday.
Got it.
Yeah.
Well,
right.
we are 2 minutes away from ending, but I want to say thank you so much, everyone, for listening. This will be archived on the BBS radio site, and it's also going to be linked on your website, right, Ronnie? Once the link is ready,
yes,
this interview will be there. And so that you can, if you missed it or you weren't able to, you know, like, oh, I didn't get all of it, not to worry, it will be on, and I don't have anything else marked, but I will. I promise to mark this one. So tonight is live on May 1st. Thank you so much for being with us, and I so appreciate you being here. And we're going to close the records now of the show, okay?
Okay.
All right.
Thank you so much, Donna. This was just great.
Oh, my pleasure.
I really appreciate
it. My pleasure. So I just want you to tune into yourself, and I want to thank the masters, teachers, and loved ones for all their wonderful healing information. We ask all that are out there, may their hearts be opened, their burdens be lifted, and may you all look into the mirror and see into the heart of the divine. And with that, we close the records by saying amen, 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 if you'll join me in saying amen. Ronnie?
Amen.
Amen. And so it is. Okay, folks. I'll see you in not next week, but the week after. Have a miracle-filled 2 weeks. Bye-bye.